everybody happy pre-Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Hold on. I just thought about something. What? Are they going to be playing football on Thanksgiving?
I guess so.
Oh, okay. I'm still trying to live football. In the NBA bubble.
They played football last night. I assume they're going to play on. Okay.
I don't follow football, so I don't know. But, you know, like Thanksgiving is usually like the football, you know, is the thing. I haven't really heard a lot about football this year.
I don't watch it. I know it's a thing, but is it a thing? I don't watch NFL football, so I don't.
Yeah.
I know that games happen.
Okay. You know, I know some games happen because in the beginning, some games were happening for the team here locally that way wasn't going too well for them.
But I haven't heard anything recently. That's the
thing. I haven't either. So maybe they came with a turnaround.
I have no idea what. I mean, I honestly have. I'm like, I don't know who's good. I don't know who's not good. I don't know.
You know what? What we do know is that we're still in the pandemic and we're still in the political season. That's all I know. Politics and pandemic.
Here's the thing. Both of us are in communications. Both of us have done public relations for a long time. I just want to send a shout out to all of our PR professional out there who have been trying really hard on behalf of their clients to get their stories in the news, to try to tell the important stories and communicate with the public about things that they need to know. Because
it's rough.
It's been a rough season for... Yes. For anybody wanting to tell a story.
Except for our PR friends at the Atlanta Hawks, they can get in the media. I think there's some magicians over there because I don't know what they cook up, but they always in the media.
That's true. But I will say this, I guess we have to say that we know the people over there, but yes. I will say and my next thing was going to be actually, the people that have been able to break through are people who've been able to tie what they do to what's in the news, right? Sure. So sure. The Hawks have been great about, you know, they were great with the social justice stuff all summer, you know, making what they're doing relevant to that. They've been great.
Continue to be too.
Yeah, with the election season.
Yep.
And make, you know, every time there's a stand up for national news about voting in Atlanta, I swear it's in front of State Farm Arena. Yeah. I mean, they have just established themselves really well, you know, as the good news purveyor of all good things coming out of Atlanta this season. But, you know, for our nonprofit friends that are listening out there, especially as we're going into giving season and all this stuff, you got to figure out how to, you know, make whatever you're doing relevant, because if not, God bless you.
Yeah. And they didn't play a game in the bubble. But they had, I have to razz any team that LeBron isn't on. So right. that's all. But think about it.
I mean, but that's true. It's like
they stayed relevant, and a lot of other teams did not stay relevant when they weren't in the bubble. If you were in the bubble, you was bubble. That was bubble talk. But if you weren't in the bubble, you weren't heard. But the Hawks were heard and continue to be heard. So yeah.
Because what's going on with the Knicks? I mean, who cares, right?
I don't know, but you know, they got a big pandemic in New York. They should have a lot to. They should. Maybe we're not getting the New York media, so maybe we don't know. But I mean,
we're getting the New York media.
I guess, come on, you're right.
We're getting the New York media, and for a long time, we were only getting stories out of New York, and
true.
You know, it's just. You know, you can look and see who's doing good stuff. And then also, a lot of the times it's organizations and, you know, again, good stuff for our nonprofit friends that, like, you're already doing the right thing. So, like, the stuff that the Hawks were able to insert into the conversation, they weren't going out and creating this stuff from scratch.
Right.
They were already in this space. They were already doing this good work. So when the moment came, they were ready to step into that, you know, step into that space and help guide a conversation, which was fantastic. And so many nonprofits, I think, have already been, especially if we talk about health disparities and financial needs and, you know, the food insecurity, all of Yeah, workforce development, all of those spaces that organizations are working in every day, this is, you know, this is your moment. So, and people have been able to step into those spaces and really shine.
Mm-hmm. And you have to do it. Like, well, I will tell you two people that I think, two of our friends, and this is going to be dangerous because I'm going to forget, like, you know, somebody that's a good friend of ours that's been doing really well. But I will say two organizations that have been friends of the Good Work Show that I think are doing particularly well with that is Gateway Center with our friend Raphael Holloway and Next Gen Men and Women with Phil O'Lalie, because they've both been in the media numerous times this pandemic, but their mission and what they do is highly obviously affected by the pandemic, but they've also talked about how they've been pivoting and what they've been doing since that, since COVID hit, and since, you know, in social justice and who they serve and how they've been affected. And so that's one advice I would particularly, like you said, just some advice for our nonprofit friends who are listening, is that if you don't have somebody, because a lot of times the nonprofit people who work at nonprofit are doing the work and they're so busy doing the work and serving the people, they don't have time to think about what we just said. How can we take this story about what we're doing and apply it to what's happening in the world today? And that's where your good communications team, your marketing team can help you do that and be the storytellers for you, because you have to continue to do the work. You just need somebody else to be able to tease out and pull out those stories and say, this is how this, you know, connects to what we're doing today, and be able to tell somebody about it. So like you said, shout out to all of the nonprofit communicators and PR folks. And then if you don't have one on your team, hire one. There's some people who could probably use you, or they may do it, you know, pro bono for right now. There's a lot of people who have some time on their hands, you know, people who may just want to lend a hand.
One of the things that, and we should get someone maybe from the United Way VIP program, maybe get Janice on to talk about board development.
Yeah.
Because one of the great resources that, you know, you could tap into is your board of directors.
Yep.
You know, a lot of the times we look to our board members to be fundraisers or oversight. And there's a lot of people laugh. I'm like, there's a lot of lawyers and finance people on nonprofit boards.
Yep.
But a good communicator, a good marketing person, a good PR person on your board could be an invaluable resource to you.
Yep.
To help you out as you're trying to communicate what you're doing, and even just give you some guidance, like, hey, let's just think about how you can craft this message. Let's think about how some places that we can put your executive director so that they show up a little bit more in the community. So, and then all of that stuff ties together, because then that ties it, you know, the more awareness you get, the more fundraising opportunities. Yep. It all works together, but
yeah. And I know somebody who's a VIP graduate who could be on a nonprofit board. Her name is Trenise Lyons. I don't know if you know her, but she's available to serve on a board or two.
I am available.
A few boards. I think I'm, I'm over.
I think you're done. But yeah, I have done. Availability. So, you know, email
is be fantastic. As you all saw, she just went through the entire spiel of how you can leverage her as a board member for free.
That is true.
She's an expert.
Yeah, that's what people tell me.
You should. It's part of your. I just did this a speaking engagement with about 50 students from DeKalb County talking about personal brand. It's part of your personal brand. So, and of course, I had to. I had to use the example of a personal brand, and I use one of my favorite personal brands, LeBron James, of course.
Speaking of communication consultation, let's just tell the people where that idea came from.
It came from you. Yes. Cause I was trying to figure out how I was going. Like, I knew what I wanted to say about personal brand. I was trying to make it relevant and get an example. And Trenise said, why don't you use basketball? You know, all of the, I was like, that's a great idea. I didn't use your total idea because I did not use Trae Young or Dwayne Wade. I only used LeBron. But it was a short presentation and I had a lot to say about LeBron. There's a lot to say.
But as examples go on defining your personal brand, I thought that was a good.
It was a very good example. But part of your personal brand, right, is that you're an expert. When I talk about LeBron, I always talk about how people think that, you know, particularly when it a few years back where they're like, well, he's just cocky because he says he's the best player in the world. I was like, well, so does everybody else say it too. So if he didn't say it first, I don't think everybody else would be saying it. If he was like, I'm the best number three guy there ever was, then I think that might be part of how people would see him. But if you say you're the greatest, hey, it's like Muhammad Ali. He said he was I'm the greatest. There's a lot of people who would argue that he was correct. So I'm just saying, you got to say you're
the expert. And that just became his nickname.
That's exactly right. So you got to say you're the expert, and then people say, Trenice is the expert.
You talk about, you know, the brilliance of that, that really is like, I'm the greatest. And then when people just start, or like Rocky, when he's like, I'm the champ. And then his nickname just became champ. Speaking of Rocky, did I tell you that my neighbor is playing... Well, not right now, thankfully, has picked up the accordion. So the other day they were playing the Rocky theme song. They were playing the Rocky theme song on the accordion like all day.
That is interesting.
So weird.
I'm not sure I've ever heard that rendition.
I'm sitting here, I'm like, because I have the TV on and I was like, is there background noise? I couldn't figure out what I was hearing or whatever. And I paused the TV and I'm like, no, that's something weird. I hear it. And then, I was like, oh, that's the Rocky theme song on an accordion.
Well, I don't, that's great. I like Rocky. There was a Rocky marathon on a couple of weeks back.
I said it there sure was.
You watched it?
Yeah.
Oh. But it wasn't all of them. It was like
three and four. Maybe like one, three, and four or something. Are the only ones worth watching.
Yeah. Well, I had to go back because I had just watched I'm a fan of Michael B. Jordan too. And anyway, I had just watched Creed 1 and 2 again. I mean, I've seen them before, but I'd watch it again. And so I was like, oh yeah, this is going to be great. It's right on time because now I can go back and do all of that. So yeah, that was good.
So then the other stuff going on, Thanksgiving's coming up. We were talking about, it's weird. I don't know. I'm going to cook something. Though I did see on the Today Show this morning where they're like one expert. Mm-hmm. Was like, we're just ordering Chinese food.
I mean, I've had some non-traditional Thanksgivings before, which are kind of good. I mean, you know, it's a break, particularly when it was, now this is back in the day where you could have Thanksgiving meals, like you'd have one at work because you'd have the work thing, and then you'd have your like social group thing, and then you go to your friend's house before Thanksgiving, and then by the time you got to Thanksgiving, you don't want any more Thanksgiving food, so you just do something different. But this year
though, I feel like
I'm doing all that.
No, and I also feel like I've had enough Chinese food because, you know, not going out to eat, that's like one of the things you can get delivered or whatever. So I'm kind of like, I kind of do want
Because you haven't been ordering a Thanksgiving meal every week. I hope. Well, I don't think anybody. I'm just going to order this turkey and this dressing, this macaroni and cheese on Wednesday.
Right. So I do. The only thing, not the only thing, but one of the things, I need to call my sister because she has the best dressing recipe. But again, I don't know. I'm going to have to ask her. I'm like, how do you pare this down that feeds, 15 people? Plus leftovers. How do you pare this down for like a reasonable? I don't know that that's possible.
Mail you some to ship you some.
Should ask her. I'm like, can you make the dressing this weekend and just freeze it and drop ship it?
Yeah. Cause that's how, that's part of one of the things that, like before we were talking, that's where I was joking about my mom, because she makes the best Thanksgiving. She makes the best holiday meals, I will say. However, she will say that dinner is at a time, and then when you get there, it ain't ready. But the line that she always says is, all I gotta do is make the cornbread. And that means you ain't eating for a whole nother hour and a half.
Now, what kind of cornbread is it, though? Is it different?
No,
or does she make it from scratch?
She don't make nothing from no mixes. It's scratch. But here's the deal about the dressing. She also used some of that cornbread
to make the dressing.
So it's not, yeah. All I got to do is make the cornbread. And you think it's just the cornbread that you just going to eat on the side. No, it's the cornbread that goes in the dressing too. And I'm like, you didn't explain all of that.
That's how my sister makes hers. It's the cornbread and she puts shredded chicken in it. So you gotta boil the chicken off. You gotta cook a whole meal of chicken before you, and that just goes in the side. So it's like a whole thing.
It's a whole thing. Which, and then all the
makes me feel like
I
won't be making that, because I'm like, I'm not cooking chicken twice.
Yeah.
Like chicken to eat and then chicken just to put into a side. I'm like, that feels like a lot of work.
Yeah. And so that's and it is a lot of work, but that's generally like my mom's is like the only dressing that I like really, really like. And so I gotta wait on the cornbread and the dressing.
So is she cooking this year and you just like drive by and get a to-go plate?
That's pretty much what we have decided. She said she was gonna cook and we could get to go and we can eat it on Zoom. So I'm like, that's great, because otherwise I was gonna have my daily breakfast tacos for Thanksgiving meal. I eat breakfast tacos every day, and I have supplies for breakfast tacos in my freezer for weeks. And so right now I wasn't planning on cooking, so I'm free and clear for that. So yes,
I kind of just want that kind of food.
Yeah,
like I want macaroni and cheese. So I'm like, I want to, but I want it the way that I. There's some places around town. I will say there are some restaurants around town that makes, because I'm going to go buy collard greens because I don't feel like cooking them. And there's a restaurant that makes them and they taste like they came out of somebody's kitchen. So that I am going to buy. But like, I was like, oh, I can make a macaroni and cheese. I can do some. I don't think I'm doing sweet potatoes. I don't feel like.
You don't feel like.
It's going to be an interesting meal. I don't know what this meal is going to be.
Well, it'd be a menagerie.
I'd be macaroni and cheese.
Macaroni. I'm always, and I hope she's going to do a ham, because I'm usually like what I contribute to meals is I'll just go buy the honey baked ham.
Now, I'll tell you one thing though.
What?
We have a colleague and she ran down her menu the other day for just two people. And all of the stuff that she discussed, I was like, we could all go there. I'm like, how much
food is it?
She getting a ham. She's doing Cornish game hens. She's doing all the stuff. Wow. And I'm like, for two people?
That is, yeah. Well, if I run out of food, I know who to call then. Because when you said two people, I automatically knew who you were talking about. So,
and it's not me.
All I had to do was just, I got that on. I just call right on up. That's a little bit of attraction for me to go over there, though. I have to meet halfway.
Yeah, but I mean, at least I was like, y'all ain't going to eat all that ham, because Honey Baked doesn't make a small ham. But you'll have that ham for Christmas. You'll have, if you freeze it good, you could might have it for Easter.
Yeah. What I usually do is get what I want off of there. Or I usually take it to wherever I'm going, like for the holiday meal. Usually it's my mom's house. Get what I want and then cut off what I want to take home and leave her, because she wants the ham bone to do other stuff later. So I just leave that with her, because I don't do that. I don't do the kind of stuff I need that for.
There was there's a place when I was living in Tallahassee. It was they sold great ham. So like nobody went to Honey Baked really in Tallahassee. They went to this place. Uh-huh. And like all year long, you could get like ham sandwiches and all that kind of stuff, like cut off. but at, well, all year they sold ham bones.
Yeah.
And you could go there and get a ham bone and they left the perfect amount of meat on it. And then you could buy the beans and it was like pre-season. You could get like split pea, northern beans, field peas, whatever. I'm like, this is real. So, like, you know, you're in the South when you go someplace and buy a ham bone and beans.
Right.
But yeah, you could go and get a frozen ham bone and go and make you a soup or whatever off of the ham bone. That place is great.
Yeah. Well, we have talked a whole lot about a lot of stuff
that I have today.
Yes. And as you can see, we don't have any guests because we haven't mentioned any of that yet.
Thankfully, because if we had a guest that was waiting, that would have been
We would have eaten
not good.
But we hope you all have a safe and happy Thanksgiving. Wear your mask, wash your hands, stay at home.
Wash your hands anyway if you're cooking or eating.
Oh,
but
gosh, yes.
Extra.
Well, first extra of all, as it relates to that, you all have noticed, I've only said I go to my mom's house. There's a reason for that. I can't eat everybody's food.
No.
My stuff is not made and set up for that. So, so there's that.
But yeah, let's have a happy and safe Thanksgiving and kind of following, apparently even now, CDC guidance.
True.
You know, today, this year, maybe we'll celebrate apart so then next year we can all celebrate together and there's no empty chairs at the table. So we'll all stay safe and be thankful for, you know, getting this far through the year, you know, as unscathed as we've managed.
True. Yep.
And we'll
be back next week, hopefully with a guest that we can talk to. We got a couple more weeks in 2020 to get a few more nonprofit friends.
Yeah. So thanks everyone. Happy Thanksgiving. And we will talk to you soon.